Hey there. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Dr. Missy Hood with the 15-Minute Rev. I hope you guys are having a great week so far. Great to sound. We'll go ahead and get going. I hope you guys have had a good weekend as you work your way into your week. And again, I'm Dr. Missy. And so I'm here to bring you the prophetic word. If you're an intercessor or people, fivefold ministers, those of you who have fivefold giftings, we're here to help you navigate through. We often talking about C2, and we're in C2 right now, in the throes of C2. We're about a month in as of today. And so I hope you're faring well as God helps you navigate through. The warfare can be kind of intense. And so we bring you the revs to help you maneuver through God's heart and hopefully get rid of the things that he wants you to get rid of to prepare you to move into higher dimensions of God's spirit. And hopefully the rev will provide you with answers to questions that that hold you back. And so we try to provide you with intercession information. We try to provide you with answers to what you may be experiencing as a fivefold leader, fivefold minister. And hopefully we're of a benefit to you. But, you know, before I get started, I'm going to let you listen to a word from our sponsor. Her name is MargaretRowe.com, Margaret Rowe Couture. And we want to thank her with along with Smack Talk Radio for all their support. And so we can't do it with you without them, but we want to thank them for helping us to bring you the word of God. And so I'm going to let her talk to you about her Mother's Day special that's coming up, and go check it out, man. You can go get your wife something beautiful. Go buy yourself something, ladies. Buy yourself something very, very nice. She's got a beautiful signature collection of earrings that she can, that she's selling. She's also getting ready to come out with Heaven's Presence, her Heaven's Presence collection. But check her out, MargaretRowe.com, and I'll be right back.
Hi, did you know Mother's Day is coming up? Well, guess what? Margaret Rowe is partnering with Chrismella Ketch. So let me tell you how our partnership is working. So for every earring that you purchase, you'll get $50 off. And the first five purchases will receive a Chrismella Ketch back. Why is that important? Because when you purchase a Margaret Rowe earring, you are not going to want to lose it. And with this special, innovative, patented design, you simply pinch the back, pop it on your earring, and it is not going to come off until you take it off. So it's a very fun promotion. Be sure to shop Margaret Rowe, and happy Mother's Day.
All right. And so we want to thank her again. And those are some beautiful styles that she's got out right now. I cannot wait for her Heaven's Presence collection to come out. It's got angel wing earrings and different pendants that go along with it. So you're going to want to check her out at MargaretRowe.com. She's got some beautiful stuff. And again, Margaret, thank you so much for all that you do for us here. We always appreciate everything that you do. And what's God saying to you? What's happening with your life right now? Today, the title might be a little intense because I, as a leader, I'm an intense leader for one. I'm a Scorpio. So if you get to me, not that that matters, but it does help you to better understand the topic matter that we're talking about. If you understand the devil's clock versus God's Maseroth, we're trying to teach you how to navigate through that. What is the devil's clock? It's what you're born into. It's the zodiac. It's your sign. God says to be sons and daughters of Issachar, knowing the signs and the times. And so know your sign, or better yet, know your God, know yourself. And I always tell you, it's up here at the, let me see if I can point myself here. Know your normal. I always tell you, know your normal. And know your normal, what does that mean? What does that mean? Because about right now, a lot of people go through a lot of pressure from April 30th through August 31st. And so we try to help you navigate through that. What is the pressure? The pressure is witchcraft. And so the more witchcraft you practice, if you're the occult, or if you are accidentally practicing it as a sheep, or maybe you didn't mean to because it's in your culture, maybe you've got a gypsy background and maybe you have people in your family practicing tarot cards, that's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. And it opens you up to bad things happening to you. It opens you up to cursings, the cursings of God. God he states it very plainly in the Bible, and he tells us not to practice these things. And so I don't care if it's a part of your culture. I don't care what mama and daddy used to do. I don't care. God doesn't care. Stop doing it. Stop doing it because it opens everybody up in your lineage to witchcraft, cursings. And so it stops the blessings. And so you're going to take this time during C2 to get cleaned up. That's deliverance ministry. If you don't know deliverance minister, we be one. And also you can run over to Daniel Duvall, Ron Horner Ministries online. And they are deliverance ministers. That is the key of the hour. It's the new key for breaking through into your new. Why do you think God is raising up all the new movers to be deliverers? Makes sense, right? So that's what he's doing. But today's conversation is going to be a little bit different for you because I love doing these recordings, by the way. I like doing the recordings because it's less pressure on me. It's just, I get to focus on doing what I like to do, which is talking to you. And I don't have to worry about the production aspect of this and running the videos and chat and maintain. I love talking live, but I really like just focusing on you guys and just being myself. And so I'm going to be real because I always am. I always am. And so, I'm always just blunt to the point. I'm at the 11 o'clock hours. You know that Scorpio is, or the tribe of Manasseh. That's my birthplace. And so you've got to know your positioning on the clock, what we were talking about beforehand, knowing when you were born, as well as what your tribe does. So you got to know your job description, what you're born into the earth with. By the way, it's in the Bible. This is all in the Bible. You can go check it out. In the books of, let me see. Let me make sure I give you the right books here to go read. Hang on. Hang tight with me, please. It's going to be in the books. Where are my books? Where are my books? It's The Voices of the Zodiac is what it's called. You can get it on Amazon.com. Here it is. Voices, The Voice in the Stars and The Witness of the Stars, as well as a book called The Maseroth. And they're by Ken Fleming. And then you can get by E.W. Bullinger. And what's fascinating about this, and let me tell you about this. This is so interesting because these writers, one of them was born in 1865. Oh, actually not, probably prior to that even. But the book is site sourced to 1865. And so if that's the case, and they're front runners talking about this kind of stuff, they were ahead of their time. They were ahead of their time. And so to me, if I look back at that, there weren't a whole lot of people that knew this information back then. And here we are as the church now just talking about it, just learning about it. And God tells us to know the signs and the times, be sons and daughters of Issachar. Know the signs and the time. But what is a sign? What is a time? The times we get around us, obviously. But then it goes a little bit deeper than that. I think, because knowing the timing of things, knowing seasons, times, dimensions, realms, frequencies, seasons, cycles of the spirit, that's depicting God's heart. So do you know how to take part? Do you know how to move back to the Ancient of Days, back to God's ways, and practice moving through his heart again as you move through the seasons of God? Hence, C1, C2, C3, C4. Those are levels of intimacy. Chamber 1, Chamber 2, Chamber 3, Chamber 4. Go read the book of Esther. She came into true intimacy with the king. Then she had to get prepared in order to even do that thing. She went through a year of preparation with fine oils and baths and being coming into an understanding of what it takes to understand the standards of a king, i.e. spiritual laws as they narrow around us as we try to come in before him. Are you giving the true king's decree? Are you going to find out what God has to say about a thing? Because let me tell you right now, the level of witchcraft that I'm experiencing from some people. And by the way, I'm going to address something really quickly. And God, please help me to articulate this in a loving way. I cannot help but be myself. Okay. I have to be true to who I am. And as a prophet, I most definitely have to be true to him. Okay, so all you prophets out there who listen and you think, oh, she's so harsh, she's so this, swipe on. I love you. But let me tell you why. Because even you would not betray the king. You understand the spiritual law that if you don't obey him by telling the words that he tells you, the people that you're supposed to be speaking to, their bloods are on your hand. And I've got news for you. You and anybody out there, I'm not going to hell for you or anybody. So you need to get a little thicker skinned. And keep listening to find out what God would have you do about a thing. Because what God wants to do for the prophets of today, I don't care what level you're at. I don't care if you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, teacher, preacher. Deliverance is the key of the hour. He's forcing the whole body of Christ to go through deliverance. Even me as a leader. We're all rolling our sleeves up and we're dealing with ourselves in order to come in to the presence of the king. But going back to witchcraft, I'm experiencing levels of witchcraft that I have never dreamed that I would see in the body of Christ. And actually, some of it even comes from the outside, because as a single person, I'm not trying to announce that. It's just the plight that I'm in right now. It's my place in life. But I am seeing people dying to be loved. Singles dying to be loved. They don't understand the Josephs, especially a lot of single Josephs, even of the younger generation, don't understand why they've been single for so long and why none of their relationships are working out. And this is not the point of this discussion today. This is a sidebar that I've experienced. And so they're turning to witchcraft. They're turning to spells, laws, and magic. And I had somebody put a spell on me, a guy. And if you're watching, big no-no with the Lord, big no-no. Because you cannot make anybody love or like you in this life. You cannot. And not to mention the fact that God is love. So if God is love and God lays his super on your natural, he does that. He lays his spirit on us in different seasons of our life. Do you understand that? He lays his spirit on us for redemption. And he lays his spirit on us for healing. He lays his spirit on you for marriage, for relationships, friendships. He lays his spirit. You cannot do anything apart from Christ. Do you understand me? You cannot make anybody love or like you in this life. Because if you try to manipulate people, which I've seen it in witchcraft prayers from the body, they use, then God, it's the same cat, different color with the Lord. Same cat. Where people try to manipulate people with the word of God, because the word of God is alive. So, but because the body feels like, you know, God is gone, he's departed from them. No, he did not move. You did. You did. Why do you think you're coming, learning to come back to the Ancient of Days again, coming back to his ways? So obviously he did not move out of position. You did. So given that, when I experienced somebody putting a spell on me, and I started having these feelings when I don't anymore, and I do it by the spirit. People don't understand. God shows me this stuff. I started breaking this crap off. I thought, buddy, you don't know me. What the? Trying to create an attraction between people. I was appalled. What a violation of my space. But that's what we're seeing in the body. It's the sense of desperation. And it's in sometimes even non-believers who practice this stuff. But you can wreck people's lives. And this is what's wrong in the body of Christ too. This is how people get married to the wrong person. You try to manipulate someone's feelings towards you instead of allowing God to take you through a process to prepare you for a thing, which requires a wait in your testing for so he can bring you the best thing that's for you. Did it ever dawn on you, this person who did this to me, that maybe I'm not God's best for you or vice versa? And anybody, and not any old thing will do. Do you understand? That's a life commitment you're trying to force somebody into. So I was absolutely on, God pointed that out and breaking that crap off. And this is the level of witchcraft we're stepping into, where they're using magic, spells, and laws. This is where the conversation starts stepping in. But what's the enemy trying to do to you, frontrunner? They're releasing, first of all, I'll get into the other in a second again, but he's releasing irritation and offense to create strife, burnout, not caring, not wanting to engage, lethargy, annoyance, distractions, stagnancy. When the bride is really moving forward because no one can stop her, that's the best news for you. Boredom with the process, doubt, unbelief. Those are keys. I'm so sorry. They hit me there too. But doubt and unbelief, magic, spells, and laws against the mind, will, and emotions of believers to get you off track. Again, remember at C2, know you're normal. Know you're normal. And also trying to disconnect you from the place of destiny that God's called you to. Let me remind you, people that are praying against people, and this is the bozo mentality of the fake church doing this kind of crap too. It's not just the occult. It's the bozos in the fake church. But they're trying to say, well, I'm going to do God this big. I'm just going to do God a favor, and I'm going to pray for him, and I'm going to pray these people out. What the heck? Who died and made you God? Really? You don't know someone's calling? Who God calls, he qualifies, bozo. Back off, Jackson. Back your truck up out of my driveway. I mean, really, it's just a level of arrogance I've never seen before. So we're having to deal with this kind of crap, not just through the occult coming to our door. So because this is C2, God's allowing you to walk through mental testings to build your mental fortitude. Okay. And so for the bride, again, coming inside, your mental fortitude is going to have to be strong. It means your mental fortitude is going to have to be strong, which brings us to the title today, which is called Major Elemental Witchcraft. Stand up, Jephthah. Stand up. God's got you. And karma's a blank. Karma's a blank. I'll leave that there. I'll leave that up to you to fill in the blanks there. But so don't get caught up what God is saying. Don't get caught up in all the warfare in your atmospheres. Regardless of your fatigue, pardon me, that God's moving you into your new thing that God's already shown you, Lord's saying nothing and no one can stop it. So what are you worked up about? What are you worked up, bride? Nothing can stop you. And even with the high level of witchcraft, they're trying to use everything they've got. We've got people using redeemed people. We've got unredeemed leaders who aren't even saved. They're fivefold. They have fivefold giftings. Your fivefold giftings operate in the devil's clock. You know that, right? They were given to you from birth. They're irrevocable. And so they work regardless. Okay. And God laid his super on our natural. And that doesn't mean you got redeemed in the process. It just means God said, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. So when he did that, it activated the fivefold giftings. That was like 20, 30 years ago. And that's where we saw the devil start raising up his army, where God started raising up his. The problem is we have a whole lot of unredeemed people, a whole lot of unsaved people walking around with fivefold giftings, abusing them. And that's why God is saying, get cleaned up, i.e. deliverance ministry. That's what he's doing to differentiate the streams now, the fake church from the real church. And you have to decide which one you're going to walk into. You're going to change your ways or you're going to get stuck and get lost outside of God's power, outside of the Ancient of Days. And so that's up to you. You choose. But regardless of the fatigue God is moving you through, you can't stop. And nobody can stop you if you're truly God's, if you're the bride coming inside. And so it's becoming apparent then as God enters you in that your enemies are PO'd to the max because many of them are unredeemed. So intercessor, you need to be going to the king in the courts of heaven and asking God about the word weapons, even words used with scriptures, magic, spells, laws and numbers, innocent blood sacrifices, rituals, rites and ceremonies. Word weapons, I call them word weapons, word structures. Collapse them, nullify them. If the people are unredeemed that are praying against you, even if these idiotic people, the fake leaders, fivefold ministers that are supposed to be redeemed, because what they're doing now is they're going to truly redeem people. It's Jezebel on them, by the way. And they're using the anointing on truly redeemed people to try to get to do their dirty work so they can try to come against God's true people. Take their prayers down. Collapse numbers 14:9. I'm telling you exactly how to do it. Identify the word structures and against all targets. Collapse numbers 14:9. Then ask God, if God didn't speak them, if it's not God's spirit of truth, if it's not a truly redeemed person speaking against you, if it's not God's charge from heaven, because only God can charge you in the courts of heaven, not these goofy people. God says, judge not, Matthew 7:12, lest you be judged. Judge not, lest you be judged. And then you reap what you sow, Galatians 6:7. So we're not to be judging anybody. I'm so sorry to do that to y'all. They do this stuff against my chakras. And that's the witchcraft talk for they hit the godly people in their vocal cords and stuff like that. Even the goofy fake church does this kind of crap. And so it's like, man, you people, I swear, some of you, you need a good weed whacking. I tell you what, a good whacking, period. So anyway, point blank, you're going to have to be on top of all this if you want to continue to come through, because the witchcraft is definitely coming at you. And it's because of also the state of the nation. Okay. So Joseph, for you, Joseph, don't tune me out yet, because God knows where you're at. He knows where he's taking you. Okay. So for those enemies, the Lord says to you, purposefully using rites, rituals, and ceremonies to hide your fraud and your sin, or your child sex trafficking, to create demonic veils to hinder God's prophets from seeing what God sees about you? Lord says, your time's coming to a close. Lord says, I see what you do, and I'm about to show them too, says the Lord. So ask God, prophets, to nullify all the words, but the rites, rituals, ceremonies, evil tongues, witchcraft weapons, evil altars, word weapons even, that create these demonic veils that keep you from seeing as God sees from the top down. Because the thing is that some of these people have been practicing witchcraft for so long and in their fivefold giftings for so long that they're a little bit higher than you in the spirit. So they can keep you in the dark about what they do. But you know something's off? You just can't quite see yet? Ask God to show you. Ask him to show you what he sees about these types. And you'll start seeing exactly into their demonic reality, exactly what they're trying to hide from you. Hiding from all truth. And you need to listen to that check in your spirit you're getting around about them. These are the times we now live in. You're going to have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, guys. Wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And so what they do to people like me, these, I call them ass jacks. They're just complete ass jacks. And I mean, I know that sounds ungodly, but forgive me. I'll ask you to forgive me before. I have to be myself. I'm sorry. I'm so not the fake church. I'm so not. Doesn't mean I'm any less godly. I'm just like a Peter. I mean, I'm just going to be myself. I'm not going to try to blow smoke. If you can finish that thought. I'm not going to do that with you. I'm just going to tell you point blank. This is what they're coming at you with. I'm a military man's daughter. So I'm just going to tell you exactly what I see. And it doesn't make me any less godly or any less loving or any less loved by God. I just tell you exactly what he's saying. And maybe he doesn't say it quite like me, but yeah, I get my point across to you. So to thine own self be true. So there you go. So God is trying to help you, prophets, to start stepping up into these higher levels of seeing so you can see what's coming at you. Some of you have bigger churches and your churches are trying to grow, and the level of witchcraft slamming you is because of what you don't know. I'm trying to show you. So some of these people too have been getting away with this witchcraft for years because none of the truth prophets were as high as them spiritually. Again, that means these leaders are really high priests and priestesses, satanic, pretending to serve God. I call them interlopers. And God's saying again, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So a lot of these people have been using the church as a network of child sex trafficking, along with sexual abuse used in SRA rituals. That's hard to wrap your head around. And what's even harder to wrap your head around is the people you're connected to and seeing them and seeing what God sees about them, because you're thinking, how could I not have seen this before? Well, because they're probably knowing, they know how to manipulate the spirit around you. How do you think they've gotten away with it this long? And now God's saying, no, I'm pushing through. Truth is walking into the room. And regardless of what you think you're going to do, the Lord says, I'm all over you. You child sex traffickers and you interlopers, the Lord says, I'm on you like white on rice right now. And I'm getting ready to jack you up hard. Where it says, you're going to lose it all. You'll lose it all. And Lord says, my truth prophets are stepping up now, and I'm bringing them up in the spirit. And the Lord says he's tired of jacking around with you fraudsters, you tricksters, you people who refuse to change and be changed when he gave you multiple opportunities. And God says, not anymore. Not this time, Jane. So quit acting like everybody around you is your friend. Quit being foolish sheep. Start stepping in. Be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Sometimes the most charismatic people are the biggest Satanists. They're not redeemed. They're the biggest warlocks and witches on the planet. And so if those leaders are coming to you trying to play victim, you have to ask yourself this. Or God, ask God this. Why aren't they able to fight their own battles with the size of their own ministries? Why are they getting beaten this thing? Because if something or someone is of God, Acts 5:39, if something's of God, you can't stop it. So someone's lying to you. See, I can't stop anybody. You can't stop anybody. If it's of God, they can't. If I'm of God, they can't stop me. We're still here, but because of the King. So if that's the case, then someone's not being honest to you. And, you know, I'm just really, I'm all about to thine own self be true. And more importantly, we serve at the pleasure of the King. I answer to him. I'm an armor bearer to the King. So you can bet your rear, if I'm out of alignment, you can bet your rear, I'm going to get my butt served to me on a silver platter through him and through my mentors. You don't have to worry about me, and I'll be happy to give you their numbers. I don't have anything to hide. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say here. So that's why I'm being so truthful and authentic and being myself. I feel very comfortable in my own skin. I don't have anything to hide from anybody or anything. But I do know what he's showing me, which brings us into Judges 11, 1 through 12, 15. And it's talking about false blame. False blame, Jephthah. Are you of Jephthah? Golly, sometimes I feel like I live in Jephthah's shoes. But, you know, it's interesting. I think people forget that it's God that puts people into positions. And so those people cannot be blamed for the actions of others around themselves. I don't walk your walk for you. And so every one of us are responsible for our actions. And if the truth be told, we see a lot of people right now in society and in the church who seem to forget that truth. They seem to forget that everybody's always looking for a scapegoat. They're always looking for point fingers at people. Oh, it's somebody's fault. It's so-and-so's fault as to this happened. How about you? How about you? How about look at your own heart condition or the crap in your own backyard? And let's start there. Let's start cleaning up there instead of always looking at the crap in everybody else's backyard. And so this is the current heart condition of our nation. Always judging everybody and being voyeurs and trying to be in everybody else's business through technology. How about just keep it simple? They call it KISS. Keep it simple. Stupid. Keep it simple. Start cleaning up the crap in your own backyard first. That's a really great place to move into. But if you're going to move into a place of honor, it all starts with you and you getting honest with you. Because God is fed up with, and I can honestly say this as of today, he is fed up with everybody always wanting titles and prestige and power, but they don't want to do the work that it requires in order for God to use them in these places. We see it in all seven mountains. We see man just vying for power in the hour. And we see it especially in the church where people, we see leaders wanting the latest and greatest, the sheep wanting the latest and greatest, but they don't want to commit to anything. They don't want to commit to anyone. They don't want to submit to anyone or anything. So God's like, why would I pour out my spirit on you? You don't commit to anybody but yourself. You're just selfish in your endeavor, says the Lord. So I don't see any reason why I would waste my time there. Hence, we also see this perpetrate itself into other avenues of the church where we have 20% of the church doing what they're supposed to do and 80% jacking around. Oh, I'm going to sit my butt in a pew. I'm going to come get the message and I'm going to go home and eat meatloaf and watch football. I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't infringe upon my time, Pastor. Don't go over the hour mark. Get over it, man. Really? If you want to see God move, you're going to get hungry for the truth and you're going to get rid of you. You're going to get free from you and start dealing with your heart conditions and quit getting offended by prophets like myself. Get some thicker skin on yourself and start dealing with you because the truth should not offend you. Matter of fact, with the state of our nation right now, I would think that so many people are so sick and tired of not hearing the truth from the media outlets that you would be craving it about right now. It should be a breath of a cool drink of water, to be honest with you, unless you're deceived. Okay, so we're going to move on. So anyway, you get my point. So God is moving these selfish types out of position to where they have no more power in society. We're seeing that as judgment walks in the room. And so, but the people he is putting into position are here by God's design in this hour. And so the opposition will one day give way to opportunity for those who've been faithful and honorable, truly honorable, the good, the pure, and the lovely. Is that you? Are you honoring God in everything that you do? Are you who you are? Are you really who you say you are? Are you really who you say you are? Do you have true fruit? Or are you just a big mouthpiece talking a talk and vying for power and trying to get up around leaders and trying to get the latest and greatest in this hour so you can lie and not cite source and give credit where credit's due? I mean, really? Freaking fake church is a big fraud. Okay. Bad attitude showing in there. So we're going to get back to Jephthah is, there it is. I'm going to make sure I'm right. He was a sincere worshiper of the Lord. And he was actually Gideon's son. If you know anything about him, he knew the scriptures. He was a man of faith and he had a lot of courage. He wasn't afraid to tell people what he thought. Unfortunately, though, he wasn't as patient and tactful as his dad. So when the Ephraimites, which I consider, i.e. the old religious guard around him, surrounded Jephthah, they were demanding to know why he didn't call upon them. Why didn't you call upon us, Jephthah? We were here to help you. Why? And so they were seeing apparently all of his victories, but they could never be happy for him because they felt excluded from the power trip that they had been deluded by. And so because they were so full of themselves, there was no room for Yahweh. And therefore, Jephthah even put him on a shelf because he was like, I don't have time for your penny ante politics and all your crap. I'm fighting a war. Get off your duff and come roll up your sleeves and join me if you're really who you say you are. But I haven't seen that of you before. Huh. Imagine that. So none of them were really willing to be true allies in Jephthah's war. So the result was that Jephthah could have cared less. Again, he didn't play politics. Yeah, my dad didn't either. And neither did my mom, by the way. And I praise God that they taught us not to either. So, you know, what's funny about that is because this is, I get accused of that too as a leader. And at the beginning of this ministry, God told me, Missy, they will never accept you. I'm like, really? Cool. Good to go. I know that from the jump start. Now I can focus on the things of God. So I was never interested. So this whole mentality of trying to, oh, we're just going to ostracize you. Okay, knock yourself out. That's wasted energy to me, man. I don't know why you're so hyper-focused on me, especially when I don't give a rat's blank. Don't care. Don't give a rat's ass jack. There you go. Okay, so he knew, Jephthah knew he was in the Lord and he was fully committed and fully confident in God's ways. And God was always giving the victory because God saw lack of humility in those surrounding him. God saw the Ephraimite's heart condition, or the old guard heart condition. And so this was what God will do when people around you refuse to do what's right. As this happened to you. But instead, these people, instead of doing what's right, they did what was right in their own eyes because they knew if they connected to help you, was righteous, then that would mean that their peers or Jezebel, i.e., would see them as treasonous. Ooh, you can't walk with one foot in and one foot out of kingdom. You can't do that. You know that, right? Oh, pow down, brown cow. Wow. So in reality, then, what God was doing was he was exposing them to Jephthah as cowards and liars. Yeah, that was their own problem, not his. So God sees all. God sees all. And I just thought, wow, I was reading this today thinking, good God, this is what I'm walking through right now. So God knows the truth about all hearts who give lip service to honor, yet are dishonorable as all get out. They have no fruit. They have zero actions to back it up with. They walk with one foot out of kingdom and one foot in. They play politics. It's called playing both sides of the court. So hence Jephthah's enemies were testing him with Shibboleth. You know what Shibboleth is? They were trying to see if Jephthah would crater to their pressure by forcing him to do things their way. But Shibboleth, the definition of Shibboleth means this. It's a test to see if you belong. Because if people don't conform exactly, which is the spirit of religion and Jezebel, because we all know Jezebel always moves the bar up to a height that even it can't reach. How many people, you know, people like that, they always tell you, they tell you, they put this unrealistic standard in front of you. You have bosses like that, or parents like that, or even pastors like that. They put this unrealistic, a fake holy, fake righteousness in front of you. It's always a superiority. It's moral superiority is really what it is. And even they can't hit it. They can't hit it. Matter of fact, they're so well below the bar. They're probably graveling through the mud, trying to prove themselves to you and to God. And God's like, God, I never requested that of you. So anyway, long story short, it's when people don't conform exactly to what that group demands, then they reject you. Which is what happened to Jephthah when the Ephraimites finally decided that they might want to help him. Oh, lucky me. Lucky me. Oh, I'm so grateful. Oh. Whatever. Keep it. Anyway, keep it. So this is what's happening right now with Jephthah. But the good news for Jephthah is that God had already helped Jephthah by giving him victory after victory. So the Ephraimites, who were pretending to want to help, were a little late, a day late and a dollar short. And this was God's way of showing everyone who was God and who was not. See, sometimes I think God will set us up, man. I think that God will make us think we're in this all alone. Lord, it's just you and me, God. It's just you and me. It's you and me against the world. And God's like, yeah, no, I set you up. I set you up so everybody could see who you are and whose you are as a standard bearer. As a standard bearer of love, God wanted you to know that you don't need man. You definitely don't need men who aren't redeemed, or men and women who aren't redeemed, because they're of no earthly good to you. They're no spiritual good to you. So it would have been a waste of time anyway for you. Okay, because there's always going to be somebody around you, leader, who wants to help you. Oh, let me help you. God told me to help you. Really, he didn't tell me. Save your stuff. Save your mess. I don't care. If he wants you to help me, he would have told me first. Trust me. As a matter of fact, this is how conflict usually occurs. And so it's because these people are so busy trying to be the latest and greatest to come up around you or come up around us. And it's like, I don't care. I have a job to do. I'm focused on my job. Are you? That's my job description and my sign, by the way. And so that's just my mindset as a Scorpio. And so I'm a worker bee. So I'm trying to get the job done, to get on God's way, to get into kingdom. And I'm trying to find people with heart conditions and mindsets like me. The worker bees. I know my our poor teams, they probably think, God, Dr. Mason, we need a vacation. We're doing great. They're all doing great. And what's fascinating about this part of the process is that right when you think you're not going to make it, God endues you with power, man. He endues you with this power. And it's like, God, I've never felt anything like this in my whole 59 years. Which is another issue with why that person was praying witchcraft against me. It's like, do you know how old I am? Crushes are one thing, but please. Find someone your own age. So anyway, I believe this is God's way of showing everyone who was God and who was not. And God didn't need their help. And neither did Jephthah. Neither do you. And God wanted Jephthah to see this. The test was not for them. It was for him. The test is for you. See, sometimes we think, oh, if I only had people come up alongside of me to help me and I could grow this thing and I could do this thing that God's put into me. No, all you need is you and God. You're doing fine. He's doing just fine with you. You just keep your eyes on him. And so, you know, what God was trying to show Jephthah was that some fake believers, we call them unredeemed. The fake church is notorious for this, but they make minor matters a major point of contention. But if you know the politics of the church, so do many leaders today. They use minor matters to wrongfully sway the masses away from the truth. And if you know anything about Jezebel does this too. If Jezebel cannot control you, it will try to find as many people to pit against you as it can to try to force you into compliance. And you know what I say to that? I'm going to give you the big bird salute, big dog. Go ahead. I don't care. Don't care. You know what the big bird salute is? You can use your middle finger there. So anyway, there you go. I don't care. I just don't care anymore. You know, and so karma is a blank. So there you go. Making the sheep think that if they don't perform precisely to that of deceived leaders' expectations, then they aren't godly. By the way, please forgive me for saying that. But I do mean that. I mean it. I'm going to repent and ask God to forgive me. Please forgive me. Guess what he just did? And the reason they get so mad at me is because they're trying to take away my salvation, which they never gave me. So it's like, what? If the Lord loved Peter and Peter cussed like a sailor. See, don't you understand why God is using someone like me? He's trying to get you off your high horse. He's trying to get you off this moral superiority fake church to where you stop believing that you're the tell-all be-all when not almost 100% of you, a few of you, maybe a few specks within that group didn't mean to get there, but the majority aren't even redeemed. So it's like, wow, who's sitting on the outside looking in now? I know he loves me. He's with me. His power it operates through me. So, and it's not me, it's the King. So if that's the case and he loves me, then he loved David too. And David wasn't even a perfect king. Peter wasn't perfect. David wasn't perfect. Gideon wasn't perfect. And neither are you. I am not either. So that's why I'm not pretentious on here. I'm going to be myself. Love it or leave it. I'm here to help you. If you can love me for who I am, then we'll get along just great. But again, I'm the daughter of a king. I'm also the daughter of a military man. So what did you expect? My dad didn't mince his words. I've heard all kinds of colorful language in my lifetime. I could write a book about it. Beautiful language. Beautiful. It's like, oh, I didn't know you could say stuff like that. You could say it like that. And you know what? God loved him too. I've seen him in heaven. I've hugged his neck in heaven. I've seen my dad several times and I've talked to him beyond the veil. He's doing just fine. So he made it there. But see, that's what we wrote a book about, by the way, just a conversation away. We've talked to different family members in heaven and I got to talk to Margaret. I got to take Margaret into heaven with me, Margaret Rowe. And she got to talk to her late husband. She heard things that only the two of them knew. I had no idea about. And so this is not psychic. This is just a word from the Lord letting me come into a place and space, which he's allowing the prophets to do right now. And it's because we're going in and out of heaven all the time. If you notice that with Kat Kerr and the different other prophets that maybe have had these occurrences, I know I'm having them all the time, almost daily. Matter of fact, daily for me. And so I love talking to the Lord about these things. And I love seeing my family. And by the way, the veil is so thin. It's so thin. It's like maybe a fourth of an inch thin where you could stick your hand through and touch them. And if you could only see your loved ones, they're always looking at the bowels of heaven. They're always checking on you. And they're always wanting to make sure you're okay. They want to make sure you're okay. And so once I knew that it was just a different dimension, remember we live in times, dimensions, realms, frequencies, seasons, and cycles of the spirit. It's just a different place in time that they're at, but they're fully alive. And you just haven't hit your redemption power yet. This is why God wants you to get free. Because when Jesus died on the cross, it was to be a prototype of redemption power, resurrection power, which is what gives you the power of God for the hour. Are we not living in a time of God's power, not God's wrath? That's how I know. And I know some of my words might make some of you leaders cringe, but I know that if you see and ask the Lord about me, he's my best friend. He's my best friend. I gave up a lot in order to walk here with him. I've lost family members, 3 in one, less than a year. One of them was Margaret's spouse, which left my uncle losing his whole family in maybe a little over a year. His 2 children and his wife. So don't tell me. We've lost more than that, by the way. We've lost more than that. More members of our family than that because of this calling on my family. So don't sit there and tell me I don't know the King. Because I definitely know loss and suffering, which is part of the prerequisite for walking here. And don't let that scare you from entering in. but it definitely will cost you if you want to come up higher in him. So you need to brace yourself. I'm just going to be point blank honest with you. It's going to cost you something. It's cost me everything. And I think he allowed it to be that way because now I have nothing to lose. Everything to gain. So here we go. Let's continue the conversation. If you know this about then what these leaders are doing then, because the whole motive op within these leaders thinking, let's go back to the point at hand that I just said earlier. Some fake people or fake church people make minor matters a major point of contention. But if you understand the politics of the church, these are what the leaders are doing too, or is a way to sway the masses away from the truth. So what they're doing is they're making the sheep think that if they don't perform precisely to that deceive leaders' expectations, then they aren't godly. I'm like, wow, who died and made you God? Really? And probably these people are the ones slinking through the mud with child sex trafficking so badly that it's like, geez, what a joke. Really? Wait till God exposes them. Then we're going to see a few things. And so it's a control tool or a way of pressurizing the masses. Because God knows nobody wants to be ostracized or not allowed to fit in, which isn't truth at all. God says, come bring all the children to me. Bring all the little children to me. Don't deny any of them. But see, a lot of the people, we live in a society that's hierarchy minded. And so what they think like is they think, well, if you're not on my level, then I can't affiliate with you. And it's like, go blow. What? Jesus treated the janitor like he did the CEO. Really? Get over yourself. Get off your moral superiority. So, but everybody then, if you know anything about the truth and which God is moving in, we all know that the king is moving us from deliverance to deliverance or transformation to transformation. So we're in a process, unless you've never been saved to begin with. That means you need to start the process. So it's a control tactic. That's what he's trying to say to you. So this is lucky for Jephthah because he knew that. Jephthah knew this. And so the Lord also knows this truth, and he was the one who's keeping record, and so he's the only one that matters. Imagine that. There you go. All right. And that's a relief to me because I'm just like, if you don't care what man thinks about you, that's the place you need to get to. You need to get some thicker skin. And I think that's why a lot of people left the church because they were so tired of this garbage that it entered in. And so this is the messed up dysfunction that's all in the fake church now. So everybody's left. They're like, yeah, that's a dead church. There's no life there. What do you have to offer me? I can go out in the world and live like that. So the Josephs, God took them out to preserve them. Are you a Joseph? Have you had to wait and go through years and years of fiery testings and feeling like your life and your blessings have evaded you? Because the truth be known, you're going through testings to see if God can use you. And so if you're over here using your giftings for doing readings and psychic abilities and crap like that, that's called witchcraft. You need to get your butt out of that. I need to get your butt into kingdom and get your gifts cleaned up and get deliverance off your bloodline too, so God can use you at a more powerful level like he wants to. So in the end, the Lord's pointing out about these fake leaders. He's saying they're just users. That's what he's saying. They're just users. They use you sheep and everyone around themselves because they're grand manipulators, political instigators, networkers of evil. So Jephthah never wanted to be a part of their manipulation system. So he avoided them. He never even invited them in. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so this time, though, this is for the bride. As God moves the bride inside, God is hooking these liars up now. He's hooking them all up. Because this time it's going to cost them something. Because they're thinking that they're leaving Jephthah outside. But God's saying this time, he's not allowing anyone to help even the liars, to help the Ephraimites, the people who are standing with one foot in and one foot out of the kingdom. And he's not going to allow anybody to help them once they realize they haven't entered in. And it's just like the Ephraimites, they get to go through just like you. I'm so sorry. Regardless of the pain, they'll endure. I'm so sorry. Because God is a just God, and he doesn't care. Because in this new place, the only thing God cares about is obedience. So for the Ephraimites, notice God is not allowing people to help you anymore. So karma's a blank. That's what he's saying to you. Karma's a blank. So the Lord is considering then the Ephraimites wannabes. He's considering to be like, he's calling them wannabes. Only around when it suited them. Ever met people like this? No honor. No commitment. They only want to help you when it suits them. Because this type of behavior is what God is shaking off the tree of the house of God in this hour. And if you're a wise leader, you'll recognize this and you'll be like, don't bring that sin in here. Don't bring that mess in here. If you're not committed to the vision of the house, you need to go find something else to do. Go start your own ministry too. Don't suggest things to me and then think, oh, well, you know, I don't want to participate even though they did it for you. So note, just keep your suggestions in your suggestion box to yourself or go do it yourself if you don't want to grasp the vision. But I believe actually this is happening because God's tired of the pretension, or people playing both sides of the court in this case, because God has called us to be men and women of truth, no matter what it costs. You know what truth means? You know what? Let me tell you what my dad used to say. This was the best advice my dad ever gave me. And it's so true, because when you tell the truth to people, when you're just, I can't lie worth a flip. I'm double truth. All Scorpios are double truth. We cannot lie worth a flip. So we don't. Most of us don't, unless they're just goofy and messed up. But my dad just always tell me, you know, Missy, it pays to be honest. It just pays to be honest because you have nothing to hide. You have nothing to worry about with God. You keep your slates clean. I mean, I think there are no perfect people. But when you know you're honest with him and you're honest in true nobility with people around you, in true transparency, you're authentic. You're just, some of us are a little bit more blunt. Hopefully you can love us despite ourselves, but sometimes we need a little bit more tact. I think I need a little bit more tact sometimes, probably today. But yeah, but I don't walk away worried about, oh, what if someone finds out? Why? I put it all out there for you to discern yourself. You go figure it out. And if you're the one trying to deceive yourself, then you're the one with the issue. Because I'm not going to live in that bubble reality with you. I'm not going to live a lie with you. It's kind of like the LGBTQ thing with these trans people. I had this goofy girl I tried to do something nice for. I actually tried to show kindness. And the person was so screwed up. They twisted the whole situation into this big pack of lies of something that wasn't even true. And then they demanded that I call them a boy. And I'm like, no, you dip chip. I'm thinking, no, you're a girl. So I'm not going to live your lie with you. Tomorrow, you'll probably want to be a brick. And the next day, maybe a dog. I'm not going to live that lie with you either. So you get over it, get on with it, or just stay away from me. I don't want to deal with this. And so long story short, that was my convictions. And I have the right to my own opinions, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm not living your screwed up life with you. Well, you're a lie. And matter of fact, almost 100% of you, I'll bet you 1,001, you've been sexually abused. Everybody I've life coached has gone through that. That's been LGBTQ. Every single one. Everyone. So don't sit here and demand that I live your lie with you. I'm not living anybody's lie with them. You get yourself psychological counseling because you look like an idiot. Let's get back on track. So, you know what Jephthah was used to do? Jephthah, after God saw that even Ephraim couldn't be true, God said, kick their butt too. Kick their butts too. They lost 42,000 men in that fight. Civil war erupted. Oh my God. Could it be that God's trying to drive something home? Let that sink in. So I believe this victory was given to Jephthah because God was disgusted with the fakes that surrounded him. He's like, let me show them who I am too. Think about that. Let that sink in. John 1, 1 through 28. Let's go there now. Two purposes of John the Baptist. There were two purposes of John the Baptist. He had a primary focus. And so that was one, to point people to kingdom. And the second was to cut out all the pomp and circumstance. And to prove that Jesus Christ was the Son of God so that John could finish his mandate. Jesus too. And if you know anything about John, he was nothing like Jesus. Jesus was calm. He was relaxed because he was God. And so he could be relaxed because he was God. And John was quirky. He dressed a little odd, like an Elijah prophet, because most prophets are quirky anyway. And so he was very brash, blunt, but authentic, very authentic. He was a very loving man. And so he was used to perform miracles. And his heart was to help people come into kingdom, to get to know the Lord just as they were, flaws and all. There was no pomp, no tradition within John's system and way of doing things. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He was just very clear cut and dry about things. It's just like a prophet, just like what a prophet does. And so he's to the point. But John wanted people watching him to only see God's emphasis on life. Light in life. So he never allowed his own position to get in the way of kingdom or in the way of God's love. And this is what we see so much of today in the church, the fake church especially. Everybody's wanting to be the tell-all be-all in one man show, one woman show, and I got to be the center of attention like a 15-year-old. And I'm just like, what the heck is wrong with you people? You wear me out emotionally. Yeah, I walked into a church 35 years ago. God take me back. And I was listening to 35-year-old parents talk and brag about watching VeggieTales. Oh, we watch VeggieTales. And it's just like this. I'm not trying to be critical, first of all, when I say this. But it's just this fake persona. It's like the church has its own persona where when people come out of the church, they are authentic. Have you ever noticed that? Like when you go home, you put this fake mask on when you go to church because of the fear that if you don't act like other people think you should act, then you're not going to be accepted there. But then when you go home, you're yourself. Have you ever noticed that? I went and I took myself to church just like I was, and it blew everybody's hair back. I'm just like, I had a woman sit down beside me. I was having a crappy day. She said, how are you doing today? I am having a blanking day. And my mentor heard me. My mentor of 25 years now, actually almost 30. And she leaned up in front of me and put her hand on my shoulder. And she said, honey, she was like 70 at the time. Actually 60 at the time. She said, honey, I'm having kind of a blanking day too. Oh my gosh, you want to go have coffee? Oh my God, there's someone real here. I could actually be my authentic self. And I was having a bad day that day. It was a rough day. I was going through severe testings as usual. But I mean, that's what I find in the church. And it's like, but John wasn't like this. John wasn't like this. And so John understood love. And he also understood the love could get tough on sheep when people refuse to listen to God, which is kind of what we're seeing in Iran through the prophets now, the truth prophets. And so, and I'm probably the worst to them all because I'm at the 11 o'clock hour. So I have to be true to who God made me to be. Because if you're at 1 through 3, you're operating a lot of mercy. If you're at 3 through 6, you're starting to kind of chime into a little truth. 6 o'clock hour, that's a critical place of transition. You're starting to climb as you're 6 through 9. Well, they're probably leaning more towards truth, but there's still some mercy there for you. But if you're hitting 10, 11, 12 times, late, and God's tired of you doing a thing. So if you're getting to me and you're getting my bluntness and my tactlessness, and then you're getting PO to me, I'm like, get over yourself, you arrogant, pompous ass. God's tired of you doing that. Knock it off. So yeah, you're seeing this part of God, and there's nothing less loving about me. I love you even when I correct you, but I have to be the truthful prophet he made me to be. Comprende? Good, then we're fine. So John was like this. John was just like me. And he wanted his people to know grace, but truth, not tradition, not doctrines of man, but how the blood of Christ takes away the sin of the whole world. And he didn't get in the way of that. And so today we have so many people getting in the way of the gospel and of God's truth. So many leaders. They blend their truth instead of speaking what God has told them to because they're afraid of offending you. I'm not. I'm not. To thine own self be true. I say, hey, let it rip, potato chip. Let's go. If you're opening up this whole bag of chips, then unless you're a dip chip, then we're going to have a problem. But then they wonder why. These people wonder why they never have a move of God because God can't count on them. They play both sides of the court, just like the Ephraimites did. So John knew he was not the light. Do you understand that? But do you? And so he was only a witness to the light. Jesus was the light of the world. And so John wasn't accepted. Jesus wasn't accepted. So why would you think they would accept you, prophet of truth? My God. So let it roll off your back, little duck. It doesn't matter. Be like Jephthah. Quit caring. Because men will always be men, and some will betray the truth, and they'll betray God in you. They're Judases. To thine own self be true. To be true to the king. You serve at the pleasure of the king. That's the purpose of why he put you here. Do you understand a thing? And you know, it's funny to me because what I'm seeing about Jezebel now, Jezebel has turned a lot of people in society into narcissists. That's that spirit's real character. Did you notice that? They gaslight people and they play these head games with people. And you really have really good people turning into hard-nosed people. Cold love. You've heard about in the end times, people have cold love. They'll get away from the warm love of God. If this is you, if you don't know how to love, that means you've probably stepped away from God. So you can't do anything without Christ. You have to love through him. You have to breathe. He gives you your next day's breath. You can't do anything apart from him. You can't fall into love. You can't make anybody love you. And so you might as well just say uncle and learn how to stay with him, especially if you're a fivefold minister, especially if you're Scorpio. Pardon me, because you don't want to wind up in the enemy's camp. Because you know the thing about Scorpio. Scorpios are the serpent and the eagle. You're supposed to be pure eagle. You know that, right? Transformer. You're supposed to be transformers to help people become a better version of themselves. Why do you think God's made you a weed whacker? Whacking, 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 whacking. With your sword. Whack it down. Whack it do. Whack it do. Okay, let's get a little bit off course, but there you go. So John never took credit for Jesus' position. He knew he was not God. Do you? That's the problem with the fake church these days. Know who you are and whose you are, but stay in your lane. Because he's not going to put up with anything profane on his throne. If you're sitting there, he'll probably kick your butt off in Jesus' name. So brings me to Psalms 10, 1 through 8. Talks about determination and dedication. And it's where David said, I will 9 times. I will, I will, I will, I will. And then he said, I shall, I shall, I shall, I shall 6 times. So David knew to be perfect before the Lord did not mean that he was sinless. He understood the relationship of authenticity with the king. And so I think this is where the fake church gets so screwed up because they seem to forget to get cleaned up or to clean up the trash in their own backyards before looking at the yard of another. Rip that Band-Aid off. That hurt. Yeah. And so David knew then how to be sincere without pretense. He knew how to draw near. So did John the Baptist too. He called this walking in the light. John the Baptist called this walking in the light, without putting up a fight as to the understanding of our plight, of our true heart condition. Meaning, both men could accept themselves, flaws and all. Can you? Because what I'm seeing today in today's society is a lot of people who act like spiritual schizophrenics. They don't have any more understanding of themselves. They don't have an identity. They lack identity. And people with that identity will settle for any old thing. They don't know who they are or whose they are. They don't understand. And so they're trying to fill those voids with anything, alcohol, drugs, sex, thinking marriage is going to fix this. No, what you're looking for is identity. You're looking for healing. You need to get your butt into deliverance ministry. So that's the key to the hour. If you want a good life, if you want joy again, It's not going to happen the other way. I'll stake my life on that. That's the key for today. So are you one of those who continually falls into the fake church syndrome of thinking you are all that in a whole bag of chips, but you act like a real dip chip? Are you a dip chip? Yeah. So just dipping your chip in any leader's fake dip, their fake flow, so you can feel like you're somebody. I got the whole latest and the greatest, and I'm just a dip chip. I'm a dip chip. Oh, use your imagination. Okay, so when we're all trying to find our pathways of understanding and the way God really wants us to go, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? But David wanted justice. David was a man after God's own heart. He wanted justice in the land and in the city. But he also understood that civic righteousness starts in the house and home, where people truly live holy lives by watching out with whom they fellowship. You become who you hang around. You understand that, right? So, and such as that, you become who you hang around if you're hanging around fake holy people. You become plastic. You lose your authenticity. You lose your ability to stay free. And I'm just not going to be that way. That's just not me. And so, so are people around you shallow? Are people around you shallow, or putting it bluntly, full of it? Are they full of it? Are they a dip chip? Pull your chip out of that dip. That's just really weird. So they're just into titles and wanted to make everyone think that they're all that in a bag of chips. And in reality, everyone around them seems to know they're nothing but a dip chip, except for them, except for them. I'm just like, God bless. So if you want a true nobility, you want a true nobility then, and you're looking to be like David with a man or woman after God's own heart, guess what you're going to have to do with yourself? You're going to have to deal with you. Oh my God. Oh, that means I can't be a dip chip. Oh no, no. Oh God. Oh, I have to throw all the chips away. Okay. You have to be like David though. If you want true nobility, stability, because at least his influence was honest, because he owned his crap and allowed the prophets to help him get cleaned up and help clean up his own backyard. Plus, he wasn't judgmental. David wasn't a judgmental king. Go read about him. He only allowed God to fill that position. He wasn't everybody's judge. He wasn't trying to set unrighteous standards for people. Even Solomon wasn't like that. They were righteous kings. They were honest and just. What in the heck stops us, really, except our own heart conditions? Which leads us today as we wrap up. It's 1:09. I only kept you 10 minutes past the hour, so you're doing great. But Proverbs 14:13-14 as we wrap up today. I know I've given you a lot to think about, but you know, I'm getting really blunt in my talks with you. And it's because God is trying to get you to get, he's not trying to get you to get sloppy. Don't get me wrong. There are standards. But I think for some of us prophets, that's part of our jobs, is to kind of break that plastic mold, to shatter it, that hardness of heart, to get you comfortable with you. Because God loves you. He does love you just like you are. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows exactly and some of the things that you hide and that you're ashamed of, that you think, oh, if anybody saw that about me, he knows it's there. Just stop. Go get deliverance. Get over it and get on with it. My dad used to say this. He used to say, you know, Missy, because I used to hate doing the hard things because I struggled with ADD, ADHD. And so I would avoid hard things. And he was like, you can't avoid things in life, Missy. Life's going to happen. He goes, the sooner you take the bull by the horns and get over it and get on with it, the faster you're going to be into your next level of joy. And I thought, wow, that's true. So I started making myself do the hard things, and I started growing and quit expecting everybody else to do it for me. And it was the best thing I ever chose to do. Will you? Will you? This is Proverbs 14:13-14. I hope it helps you. It states that even in laughter, the heart may ache. And in the end of joy, there may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways. And a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. So nobody, this is my opinion here, ever gets away from the justice of Yahweh. You reap what you sow. It's just, whose fruit are you going to grow? You're going to grow bad fruit, the enemy's fruit? That's called reaping, sowing and reaping, Galatians 6, 7. A man always reaps what he sows. So nobody ever gets away with anything in this life. But anyway, go have yourself a great Tuesday. I'm sorry I've kept you so long, but I'm also always great to visit with you. I'm always grateful to visit with you guys. And we'll be talking again on Friday, and then we can continue the conversation then. But until then, keep your chin up. Keep your head always looking up towards him, and keep your heart filled up, okay? And know that I love you. I'll be talking to you soon. Bye-bye.